The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
TFA fam, what is up? What is happening? Back again. We are here, week 7, running back rankings. It is an absolute dumpster fire out there at the running back spot this week. We have injuries. We don't know if Saquon's going to play. Nick Chubb's already been ruled out. Chris Carson's on IR. We have 6 teams on bye. I mean, it is a rough go this week. We're talking about possibly playing D'Ernest Johnson or Demetri Felton. You know, I mean, it is just a dumpster fire out there at the running back position. But the show must go on. And so we can either sit here and cry about it, or we can pick up the pieces and try to win this week. And that's exactly what we are going to do, joined, as always, with Robbie and Cody. So let's just get things going here. We are going to start with our top 12 running back and consensus. We have Derrick Henry. I guess you hate to see it, but you love to see it at the same time if you know anything about us. But regardless, Derrick Henry starts off number 1 against Kansas City. Then you have Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, Jonathan Taylor, Daryl Henderson at 5, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Daryl Williams, Chuba Hubbard, Josh Jacobs, Elijah Mitchell, and Leonard Fournette. The things that I did not expect at all, that all these guys, this collection of just elite talent at the running back position this week in the top 12. But here we are, so let's make the most of it. So, Robbie, start us off. Who is somebody in the top 12 that you want to wax poetically about?
That was wild. We need to take a quick second and just realize, I think you had Daryl Williams as a top 7 back in a week of fantasy football. Like, that's Chuba Hubbard, Josh Jacobs. You know, some of these names, and I get Josh Jacobs, we had that name up there at one point in time, but man, this is a wild, wild week. I'm going to go to one name that you said kind of at the end, Elijah Mitchell. Yes, the Trey Sermon truther is going to talk some positive vibes here about Elijah Mitchell, because why did I like, you know, a running back coming into that San Francisco offense? It's because Kyle Shanahan, for all the questioning we have with him right now, what does he do most weeks? He gets production out of the running back room. We've seen it going back for multiple years now, and with Elijah Mitchell healthy, he has gotten the majority, the almost every carry, really, when he's been healthy, weeks 1 and 2, and then this past week, or I should say 2 weeks ago before their bye. And so now he comes back here in week 7. They've been on bye. Like you said, in our quarterbacks video, Jimmy Garoppolo is expected to start. And I think that helps Elijah Mitchell, because we're not splitting carries here with Trey Lance as well. Elijah Mitchell is probably expected to get a majority of that workload. We're talking, you know, 15-ish carries, maybe more. We saw week 1, he got 19. So I'm excited about him, because I just think when he's healthy, he's the guy that they trust right now. They don't trust Trey Sermon. As much as I like him, they don't trust him. And so he can absolutely be that guy that has a safe workload. And I just like him for this week. So I'm excited about starting him as a top 12 back this week.
Not the name you were hoping for, Robbie. So I'm proud of you, buddy, for talking about a rookie not named Trey Sermon for the 49ers. Kev asked you to wax poetic about somebody. I don't necessarily want to wax poetic. Like, this is so gross that we literally have, and I'm sure the zero RB truthers are out there parading around in their birthday suits, feeling really good about themselves, because we literally have, what, 3 waiver wire running backs here, or at least guys who are, you know, in the last rounds of your drafts with, you know, obviously Darrell Williams, Chuba Hubbard were waiver guys, and Elijah Mitchell, he was probably a waiver guy too after week one. And then, you know, you have guys like Josh Jacobs, everybody left for dead, and Daryl Henderson, who was a fifth round guy. But just really quickly, if you have Chuba Hubbard, you're playing him. Hopefully you didn't drop him thinking that Christian McCaffrey was coming back and then didn't get him off of waivers. This is another reason why we don't want to handcuff our own running backs, because Chuba Hubbard is stepping into that position. He's getting the majority of the workload, but there is just two games that he's played where he has five or more targets. Like, that is not the Christian McCaffrey workload. They are using some other guys, especially in like 2-minute drills. We saw Ronnie Smith used against, I think, maybe the Dallas game. I think he came in and picked up a bunch of the targets. But I mean, over the past 3 weeks, you're looking at 13, 24, and 16 carries, at least 50 yards, at least 57 yards in all of those games as well. He finally got his first touchdown this past week, but now going up against the Giants, everybody has run all over, passed all over this team, basically doing whatever they want to defensively, giving up the seventh most half PPR points per game to the running back position. So Chuba Hubbard, if you have him, you're plugging him in. You know, up until this week, it has been as like an RB2 or a flex, but now you might be plugging him into your RB1 spot. So it is gross out there. Kev, what do you got?
Yeah. Hey, let's just keep it going. Let's keep the grossness going. Okay. We're just going to just be a gross fest. But today I'm going to talk about Josh Jacobs. You know, I have him at 10. And I think this is he's in a really good spot this week. If you kind of look at Josh Jacobs, played at least 65% of the snaps in three straight weeks, and he's running 14.5 pass routes per game, which isn't great, but isn't terrible either. He's averaging 13.5 carries per game and 3 receptions per game as well. And he's getting 72% of the opportunity, which is the 10th highest among all running backs. And he gets a tremendous matchup this week against Philly. Philly has been, much better against the pass than they have against the run. They currently have allowed the seventh most fantasy points to the position. And so and they're also, I think, 26th in run DVOA as well in the year. And so, you know, you could definitely run against this team. I think since Brandon Graham, I believe, went out, I mean, they've just fallen apart on the defensive side of the football. So, you know, I really like Josh Jacobs this week. And, you know, for the most part this year, he's been kind of a low-end RB2 for most people. But this is I think this is a really solid spot for him in this game. And so, you know, Josh Jacobs, you know, he's not a sexy name, and he's not somebody that I think has like a monster ceiling, but I think he can provide you enough this week to, I think he can get, you know, maybe possibly 15 to 20 fantasy points, I think is within the range of possibility for him this week. So I like Josh Jacobs as well in this matchup against Philly. If you don't have anybody else to talk about in this RB1 range, I think we can jump on to the RB2s, and we can just keep the grossness going, because at 13, we have Cordarrelle Patterson. Yes, we do. Cordarrelle Patterson, another name I did not expect to have us here, but here we are. You guys actually have them both as an RB1. I have them at 18. I am not fully committed to the Cordarrelle Patterson experience quite yet, but it is out from there. It's James Conner, Miles Sanders for the brand, and Damian Harris, Chase Edmonds, JD McKissick, Javonte Williams, Mike Davis, gross, Damian Williams, Alex Collins, D'Ernest Johnson, and Melvin Gordon. Woo! Like, okay, let's talk about some RB2s, okay? If we thought the RB1s were kind of weird, these are even worse. And so, Cody, who's your RB2 flavor of the week?
Let's go right back to the top, man. Let's go at RB13 with Cordarrelle Patterson. Is it here to stay? Who knows? But injuries, 6 bye weeks. On the season, he is RB12 in standard and RB10 in both half point and full point PPR. Obviously, the last game that we saw him in against the Jets, they had to use him a little bit more than what they had been because of all the, Ridley not being there, Russell Gage still injured. So he did see 14 carries, saw 9 targets, but the targets have been pretty consistent for him outside of week one, where he only saw 2. Since then, he has seen 7, 7, 6, and 9 targets. The touchdowns, obviously unsustainable on the amount of touches and the amount of snaps that he's playing. But going up against this Miami defense, allowing the 4th most half PPR points to the running back position, Robbie, you were talking about the Miami defense in the quarterback video, just not the defense that we thought it was going to be. If you want to look at Cordarrelle Patterson as a receiver, Miami is giving up the third most half PPR points to wide receivers. So whether you want to plug him in at RB, wide receiver, flex, it doesn't matter. You can plug Cordarrelle Patterson in this week and feel confident doing it. I'm glad we wasted all the time. Well, I guess we didn't waste that much time in the offseason, Kev, but going back and forth about, you know, Mike Davis and Wayne Gallman. You know, you were talking about, you know, Wayne Gallman's going to come in and he's going to be the one taking away from Mike Davis. And I was all in the Mike Davis train. And at the end of the day, it's Cordarrelle, MF, and Patterson.
Yeah, as somebody who has said Cordarrelle Patterson is a sell high, and I do think that when we talk about running back rankings and with six teams on bye, all the injuries that are happening, yeah, he's going to sneak in as a top 13, top 12 back for us just because of what's left there. He's a guy that's probably going to see five or six receptions. And in a half PPR league, that's just valuable enough because of what he's been doing once he gets the football. Now, I know that you guys feel the same, and we've been touting this, that long-term, I don't think he continues this. He can't continue scoring on 16% of his receptions. Calvin Ridley comes back after missing a week. Russell Gage will be coming back eventually. We do see the Kyle Pitts emergence coming, right? So his target share of 17%, I don't think continues the way it has been. So I do think he slows down a bit, but when it's this gross, he's still going to be ranked highly. So love you pointing that out, Cody. But the guy I'm going to talk about is James Conner. Kev, I know you are high on him as well. With Chase Edmonds so limited last week, and I don't know if that continues this week, but if it does, we saw James Conner get 55% of the snaps. He got 17 touches. I just think that James Conner, whenever he's in a good game script, he's a guy that you have to have in your starting lineup just because of how explosive this Cardinals offense is, right? He's had two games of two touchdowns in those two games, and he's getting an average of 14 touches per game, three games of over 16 carries. And I just think he's a great shot at getting a touchdown against this Houston Texans defense that's not good. They're getting absolutely exposed on all sides of the football. So if we're talking about a matchup that fades towards James Conner and not towards Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds still nicked up with that shoulder injury. So maybe the snap share also continues to lean towards James Conner. He's going to be a top, you know, 13, 14 guy for us. He's a top 10 guy for me. I'm really excited about James Conner and what he could bring in this matchup.
Yeah, you have James Conner out here taking bringing some of the Steelers with him and doing his best Jerome Bettis impersonation and having Chase Edmonds be fast Willie Parker.
I love a Willie Parker mention in 2021. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Jeff, who you got?
Well, I mean, James Conner has, you know, essentially taken over the Kenyon Drake role. I mean, he's the guy who gets all of the, you know, he's getting all the carries. He's getting all the goal line work. He's actually fourth among all running backs goal line carries. Where you have Chase Edmonds getting six and four carries the last 2 weeks. But he's also getting most of the pass catching work. So, good to see James Conner living his best life and getting a second opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, James Conner, I think, is very, very viable this week. But my guy that I am much higher than you guys are, and that's Miles Sanders. And I have him at 10, and you guys have him at 18. I get it. The peripherals have been not good. He only has two games of double-digit fantasy points, and he only has three games, I guess, where he's been at least an RB3. And however, if you kind of peel the layers back, kind of like an orange, right? You start peeling those layers back to get some of the goodness on the inside to get some of it, right? Let's do that with Miles Sanders, okay? So if you look at him, especially the last couple of weeks, he's really taken a stranglehold of his backfield. Now, the production hasn't been there, but the opportunities certainly have. He's played 74% of the snaps in week five. He played 91% of the snaps in week six against Tampa. 11 carries, 9 carries, not great, obviously. 17 to 15 routes run. He's seen 9 targets over the last 2 weeks. However, those are the two of the best run defenses in the league, right? Nobody runs against Tampa because Tampa is one of the best run defenses we've seen. And so I think that, one, I said this today in our Slack chat, which you can find that in the description down below. Always popping. Questions all day, every day. Just going off in there. And so, but I brought it up with Miles Sanders then, that Miles Sanders is the best buy low right now in all of fantasy football. Their schedule past this last week against Tampa is absolutely amazing. It's like top five schedule remaining. He only has, I think, two matchups against two teams that are in the top 10 of run DVOA the rest of the season. And the opportunity's been there. He's getting all the opportunities in this backfield. So I think it's 76% of the opportunities. And so I do think they start to run the ball more. This is a good matchup against Oakland, or excuse me, against the Raiders. The Raiders allow the 11th most fantasy points in the position. They are 16th in run DVOA on the season as well. So this is a good matchup for Miles Sanders. And I think he spreads his wings, you know, and I'm going to be like, what is that, Dirty Dancing, where you pick him up in the air and – you know, and carry him around. That's what I'm going to do. It's me and Miles. Me and Miles, I have rode with him. I have not jumped off the bandwagon. Miles Sanders, top 12 running back this week. Plug him back into your lineup. Thank me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
On Sunday night. I digress. So, Miles Sanders, lock him in, top 12 running back this week. Love him. You know, and you already took my other guy that I was going to talk about, which was James Conner. So a couple of these other running backs that we have in here, you know, D'Ernest Johnson, I guess we should talk about the Cleveland situation. Everybody's going to run out and spend their top fab on him. Everybody's going to go out and spend a number one waiver ab on him. And it's a fucking mistake. You shouldn't spend anything on him. No fab, no waiver. At the best, he's a one-week play. At the best. Best opportunity, he's a one-week guy. Right? Because Nick Chubb will be back after this week. They did the right thing, the smart thing, and not rush Nick Chubb back. It was a mild calf injury, but there was no reason for them to rush him back with him playing on Thursday. They play the Broncos, which has one of the best defenses in the league. I want no part of anything Cleveland. I don't care who it is. You're not playing nobody. Odell, the tight ends, nobody. This is going to be an ugly, ugly game on Thursday night between these two teams. Both the offenses are out of whack. Even Denver doesn't look great either. You know, they just got the doors blown off them by Las Vegas. There's talk about Teddy Bridgewater might lose his job to Drew Locke, and they may go back to Drew Locke. Who knows? But I am not messing with D'Ernest Johnson in this matchup, and I'm not messing with Demetric Felton unless you absolutely are desperate. And I get it that there's a lot of guys on bye, but do not spend heavy with fab or waiver, which I guess this will come out after waivers run. But the people that do, you're an idiot, because it's just there's nothing there for you. It's a bad process play. He has 1 week and that's it. You know, and with Nick Chubb coming back, Nick Chubb is going to eat when he comes back next week. Okay. So anyways, do you guys have any other RB2s or should we move on to the RB3s?
I have to sneak back in because I took your guy, so I do apologize for that. But we just had to talk a little bit about James Conner because how much we like him. But the other guy I think that you guys are a little bit low on, and we have to see what comes out with Antonio Gibson. But J.D. McKissic has kind of been a hot, cold player. I mentioned, you know, Jameis Winston in the quarterback video, super hot and cold, either gives you a fantastic week or an absolute dud. J.D. McKissic has been that with Antonio Gibson in the lineup. We're not sure if Antonio Gibson is going to play this week. Let's keep an eye on that. But even if he does, this is a game script that he absolutely can take advantage of where they're going against the Packers. They're going to have to throw it. We saw J.D. McKissic play on 61% of the snaps. That is a season high for him. We saw Antonio Gibson go all the way down to 39%. That's going to be injury related. So even if he does play, is he limited with the microfracture in his shin? So I think this is a play where you can rely on J.D. McKissic. He is the one that they trust in the pass game. He's the one that they trust in those 2-minute drills. And so that – matches up well with going against the Green Bay Packers. And so he's going to be the guy for me to make maybe towards that 17 PPR points that he's got, that he has gotten in three of the weeks where he's got at least five catches, and not so much the 3 weeks where he's been 6 point or less. So I think J.D. McKissic absolutely needs to be mentioned here as a running back too.
I think especially in the matchup against Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay's been terrible against the run, but they're going to push them. They're going to make them throw the ball. And I think J.D. McKissic is a direct beneficiary of it. And honestly, I think that that the guy we probably should be talking about more, and that he's really getting not that much buzz, is Jarrett Patterson. Because I honestly, Antonio Gibson might be done for the year. Like this injury that he has, like he very simply could fracture his fibula. With having stress fractures in there and everything else, and the fact that they were supposed to have the MRI yesterday, or excuse me, on Monday, and we still haven't heard anything about it, is a little concerning as well. Because I would think if it was nothing, they would already come out and said, no, he's good to go, it's fine, it hasn't gotten any worse. Because that's what he's heading towards, right? It is something major, and he hasn't been able to make it through it. Like, it seems like they would be much smarter to just shut him down, and at least for the foreseeable future, they're not going anywhere. Is it really worth risking a major injury or something like that? I don't think so. And so I think Jarrett Patterson is actually probably the guy that people should be looking to add, because I honestly think if something happened long-term with Antonio Gibson, even if it is short-term IR for Antonio Gibson, I think Jarrett Patterson ends up being the lead back, where J.D. McKissic stays in the same role, pass catching back, and mixing in, because J.D. McKissic is not getting 15, 20 touches a game. It's just not going to happen. And so I do think that while I think in PPR formats, McKissic remains, probably a decent RB2, in PPR formats. But I think Jarrett Patterson would be the guy people should be monitoring. And so I actually took Antonio Gibson out of my top 36 whatsoever, because I don't think he plays this week, regardless of anything else. And so I do think Jarrett Patterson kind of becomes a really interesting RB3. So, but I do like the call of McKissic, especially against Green Bay. We saw it last year. He can be really productive. So maybe we are a little bit higher. I'm just kind of waiting for that final nail in the coffin of Antonio Gibson, which, hate to see it. I was all about the Antonio Gibson life. Hate to see that he hasn't been able to stay healthy these first two seasons in the league. So, but we'll see, I guess, what ends up happening with him. But other than that, do you guys have anybody else who want to jump over to the RB? Okay. Let's go over to the RBs. AJ Dillon at 25. We have Antonio Gibson at 26, but after we just talked about that, but I have him at 48. You guys have him at 17 and 16. From there, we have Khalil Herbert, which I am higher on than you guys. Michael Carter, Jamal Williams, Devontae Booker, which is much lower probably because of myself. And then Miles Gaskin, Nyheim Hines, Latavius Murray, Kenyon Drake, Ramondre Stevenson, and Kenny Gainwell. One, I will mention, I have Devontae Booker at 43 because I think there's a better shot that Saquon could actually return this week. There's what was talk when it first happened that it's probably more of a 7 to 10 day type of injury because it's just a lower ankle sprain. It's not anything, like a high ankle or anything like that. They were reluctant to rule him out all last week. We'll see on him. I have Saquon at 5, so I moved Devontae Booker out, but we'll see what happens. Regardless of that, I want to talk about – let's talk about Khalil Herbert. I've been really impressed with that dude the last two weeks. He looked really good even last week as well in that game against Green Bay. Now, this is obviously a much tougher matchup against Tampa Bay. I'm sure Matt Nagy, because Matt Nagy's a donkey and shouldn't be a head coach in the league, is still going to try to run the ball here in this game, even though every other team has opted not to. But I do think Khalil Herbert, it's going to be interesting how he shakes back in with Damian Williams likely to be back this week. And then Michael Carter, I have at 22. You guys have him at 32 and 29. I think there's probably a better chance that he probably, moving forward, coming off their bye, probably handles 60% of the opportunities in this backfield moving forward, somewhere in that 55-60%. So I like Michael Carter as a low-end RB2. Ramondre Stevenson. I was actually surprised. Ramondre Stevenson was utilized more as a pass catcher, especially at his size. Not something that I would have expected from him. But, we saw it last week. He actually ran more routes than Brandon Bolden last week. And so if he's going to be more of in that pass catching role, I don't mind it. I mean, he had 3 catches last week. He targeted 3 times, 5 carries, 62 total yards and a touchdown, in a matchup against the Jets. I don't really mind. I think that he is kind of a borderline PPR option Do I think he's all of a sudden going to get like 7 to 10, targets a game? No, not at all. But I think that he can be relevant. And Damian Harris seems like he's always on a short leash with Bill Belichick. If he fumbles again, you know, Damian Harris can be relegated back to the bench with Ramondre Stevenson stepping up. So I think Ramondre Stevenson is at least, you know, kind of a flex option. Do you guys have anybody you want to discuss?
I do. I want to talk about, I feel like I want to call him the Tony Pollard of the North, and that's A.J. Dillon, who is starting to kind of carve out his own, you know, side role with Aaron Jones up there in Green Bay. And he's had 13 touches over the past three games, per game. And I think this is kind of what we saw in previous years with Jamal Williams, right? So this is a guy that's going to be doing, you know, some of the rushing game with Aaron Jones, but he's also just doing it better than what we saw with Jamal Williams, right? So this past game, he only had 11 carries, but he had for 59 yards. And I know the Bears defense isn't what it used to be, but they had Akeem Hicks back. The run defense is okay, and he had 59 yards. So we've also seen him get involved in the pass game. So A.J. Dillon is a guy that in this type of week where we have so many injuries, so many people out, where he has standalone value. And then again, if anything were to happen to Aaron Jones, I think he shoots automatically up the board. So I'm really excited about A.J. Dillon and the work he's been getting. He's kind of in that, you know, 10 to 15-ish touches per week range, which for a running back two on his own team, that's fantastic. So he's a guy that I think should probably be a little bit higher in some of our rankings. But yeah, that's the one guy that I really want to hit on.
It's gross here. Like, Miles Gaskin can suck a fart. I have no use. Yeah. No use for that dude. I can't do it. Nyheim Hines has been an absolute non-factor. You know, two of the first 3 weeks he was an RB2. Since then, from week 4 to 6 in half PPR scoring, he has finished as running back 84, 66, and 48. Like, I did not see that coming. He's like the past 3 weeks, 4 opportunities, 5 opportunities, and 6 opportunities is all he has had. The things I want to throw out to you guys, a couple other, you know, injury things that we're looking here, and we can wrap it up on this note, unless Demi Kevy has some deeper plays that he wants to touch on. But let's say that Alex Collins is out, and let's say that Latavius Murray does not play either. Both those guys are banged up. Latavius Murray probably more on the side that, you know, he could be able to play versus Alex Collins, but would you guys have any interest in Rashad Penny or Devonta Freeman if either of those two running backs were to be out for week 7? Let's just get this big old pile of gross and just keep tossing it up on top.
I think you would have to in Rashad Penny, because I don't think they would. DJ Dallas and Travis Homer feel like much more of the pass catching options there, but I will say that DJ Dallas did get some opportunities on the ground as well, and I thought he looked decent, you know, against Pittsburgh a lot, you know, in that towards the end of that game, Alex Collins left. So it's just can Rashad Penny stay healthy? I mean, I don't know. He's been in the league forever and is never healthy. You know, I mean, can he stay healthy?
That's round one pick Rashad Penny.
I know, and he has done absolutely nothing, but. So we'll see, but I will say this. It's not a good matchup against New Orleans. The Saints' run defense continues to be excellent. They're number 2 in run DVOA. And so, you know, if you're wanting a running back from this backfield, I probably would want maybe, if you were going to take a shot, maybe DJ Dallas, just because maybe he's more involved as a pass catcher. But I think you could roster Rashad Penny for sure, you know, and take a shot on him if you had to, if you were desperate. Because, I mean, he could end up being the starting running back here in the soft. And as far as the Ravens go, absolutely fucking not. I want no problem. I want no part. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Any of that backfield. None. And the only reason Latavius Murray's been relevant is because of the touchdowns. Because he continues to score touchdowns. I think he scored a touchdown like in like 4 of 6 weeks or something like that. Other than that, he's been terrible. And now we're just bringing in Devonta Freeman and trying to make him a thing. Le'Veon Bell scores a touchdown last week. You know, all these fucking running backs scoring. We can't let Lamar Jackson score. You know, but when people have him in DFS and, you know, have him in all their lineups, you know, and he's supposed to go off and, you know, hey, heaven forbid, let's just let the, you know, somebody's dynasty team from 6 years ago, whenever all these guys actually were relevant to run the ball in. I digress. No, I don't want any part of Devon.
They saw that Texans running back room and they were like, no, we can double down. We can do better than that. Here's the thing, Kev. they're going to score rushing touchdowns. Like, I get it. It's gross. I said a couple weeks ago after a Devontae Freeman run that was so bad that he got stuffed for negative 4 yards after he was indecisive, got hit back. It was disgusting. He should have been cut, but this Baltimore running game is going to score touchdowns. That's just how they move the football and then how they end up scoring. So I actually like Devontae Freeman a little bit more than I would a DJ Dallas or Rashad Penny, because I would probably have DJ Dallas a little bit above Rashad Penny because I just don't know what to expect from him coming back after, what has he had, like 4 games in the past 3 years? Like, it's just been injury after injury, right, with this guy. So I don't know.
More surgeries than games played for Rashad Penny.
Yeah, someone had to say it. So, no, I have them below guys like A.J. Dillon, Michael Carter. Thank goodness we're off the Ty Johnson train. We're on the Michael Carter train. Thank you for joining, Kev. It's been a minute.
I don't know anybody said it's, we're off. It's not
been a minute.
Yeah, we can't go down this rabbit hole.
And so, yeah, I'm off those guys. Miles Gaskin, as gross as he is, I'd probably start him over those guys, and that's saying a lot.
Give me C.J. Procise over all of them.
What team is he on?
I think he's in Tampa. Yeah, he's in Tampa. But, you know, for the record, I will just say this, and we're not going to go into it, but I will just say this. Cody actually has Ty Johnson at 41 this week, which is higher than me. So we'll just let that simmer. We'll let that air. He's almost on RB3, okay? We'll let that simmer. You know, talk about it yourself. Let us know. Which terrible running back are you most excited about playing this week? Let us know in the comments section below. But until then, I appreciate everybody checking out the video, okay? I know it's terrible. I know it's rough. Hey, come see us Wednesday night, okay? We'll talk about it. It's a safe haven, okay, for everybody. We're going to talk about it. It's a happy place, okay? We're going to try to get us all through it, okay? Because we're all trying to win this week. Fuck the NFL. Fuck Roger Goodell for giving us this terrible schedule with all these teams on it. So this is all we're deciding between. But, hey, it is what it is. We're going to make it work. Hit that like. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.